Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is still in control, regardless of what is going on in the world. We hope you are keeping the faith. We want to welcome you to the Sunday School for May the 31st, 2020. I am the Sunday School teacher for today, Superintendent Freddie Howard here at Antioch Baptist Church here in Tunnel Springs, Alabama. Antioch Baptist Church, located at Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 36471. Our telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody, and Christ is the head. Reverend William Oliver is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady. And our clerk is Miss Lisa Starworth. The lesson for Sunday, May the 31st, 2020 is Measure Up. Devotion reading is coming from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 20. The background scripture is in Hosea, the 11th and 12th verse. And the printed text also is Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2. 7 and 10, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and 6 and the 14th verse. Let us pray. Our Father and Savior Jesus Christ, the maker and creator of all things, we thank you, Jesus, for the times and situations that we're living in. We know that you are working out the soul salvation for this nation and all of the people in the world and all of those that love Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus. Keep us safe, Jesus. And we pray for all those that are in the turmoils and the wrath of what is going on in the world. God is getting ready and preparing for his return. And these are only the birthing pains of change. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for Antioch and Pastor Oliver and Sister Oliver and all the people there at Antioch. And we thank you for what we're going through the pandemic and the changing of the normalcy of what we consider to be why we do church service in the church, but we're having to go outside and keep distances and things like that. But God, you are still in control. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord God, it is our desire to do the right thing in our daily walk and our talk. Thank you for the privilege to be a part of your work of justice and righteousness. And Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak words as thou has imparted to me knowledge and to speak truth of your word. May it be helpful in leading someone to Christ Jesus. These are many blessings we ask in the Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Let us begin with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, all the way up to Sunday weekly studies. We hope that during the week that you have read these. We have already read them, but we will go over them again. We'll begin with Monday, May the 25th, Receiving a New Version of God. Receiving a new version of God. This is Genesis, the 28th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Genesis, the 28th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Let us begin. The 28th chapter of Genesis, verses 10 through 18. All right, here we go. Verses 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Verse 14. And it says, And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in that way thy seed shall be all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, And behold, I am with thee, and I will give thee in all places to which thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Verse number 16, And Jacob awaked out of this sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 17, And he was afraid and said, How awesome is it this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Receiving a new vision of God. All right, let's go to Acts, the 15th chapter, verses 10 through 17. This is for Tuesday. Justice for Gentile believers. Justice for Gentile believers. Justice for Gentile believers. This is in Acts. Acts, the 15th chapter, as we turn. 15th chapter, verses 10 through 17. Verses 10 through 17. Let us begin. Verse 10. Now, therefore, why put God to the test to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither of our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Paul and Barnabas testified, this is verse 12, Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring that miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Okay, as we continue here with verse 13, James announced the decision of council and the outcalling of Gentiles agree with the promise of Israel. One of the things that we must remember is that God sent his people, Israelites, the Jews, to take the word to all the people on the earth about Jesus Christ and God. But the Jews failed to do it. So God had to send two of his apostles to the Gentiles. Paul is one of them. Okay? Remember the knocking Paul off the horse, and because Paul pursued and harassed and had killed many Christians and did a lot of things to Christians. So Paul was one of those that went to the Gentile. Okay, let's continue with verse 13. And after that they had held their peace, James answered and said, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Listen to me. Okay? Simeon hath declared how God first did visit the nations to take out of them a people for his name. He's talking about the Israel, Jews. And to this grace, the word of the prophets, as it is written. Lesson 15. In verse 16, it says, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again its ruins, and I will set it up. Now verse 17, this is justice for the Gentiles, speaking about them, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the nations upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who goeth or who doeth all these things. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy. This is for Wednesday. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. The 28th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. All right. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Okay. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We are there. The thanks which brings blessing. The 28th chapter, verses 1 through 6. The things that bring blessings. Okay? Please pay close attention. These are some of the things that bring blessings. The things that bring blessings. God is talking to his people, but he's talking to you as well. His word still stands as it is. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commands, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Okay? The second and verse, and all these things and all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Listen to God. Do what God says. This is what he's telling us. Verse number 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed thou shalt be in the field. Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. He's talking about blessings of people. Blessed shall be thy basket, and thy kneeling trough. 6. Blessed shall thou be when thy gold cometh in, and blessed thou when thou goest out. Okay, as we continue here, that's Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 6. That was a blessing. And now he began to speak of curses. This is in 15 through the 19th verse, and he says this. But it shall come to pass, if thou that wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. This is if you don't do what God says. Curses is the reward. Curses shall thou be in the city, and curses shall thou be in the field. Curses shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Curses shall be fruits of thy body and the fruits of thy land, the increase of the cows and the flocks and of thy sheep. And verses 19, which is the last verse, cursed shall thou be when thou cometh in, and cursed thou be shall when thou goeth out. That is if you do not do what God say and follow his command. That's a message to his people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, and to us, the Gentiles. Okay? All right. Let's go to Matthew's, the second chapter. Matthew's, the second chapter, verses 13 and 15. Matthew's, the second chapter, verses 13 and 15. And what he's talking about, Jesus, a migrant from Egypt. We need to remind you that Jesus, when he was being born in the time of Herod, Herod was angry and was killing a lot of babies. So God had Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to get themselves from where they were down into Egypt so that the baby would be safe, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, with that, we will begin with Jesus, a migrant from Egypt. This will be Matthew, the second chapter, verses 13 and 15. Flight into Egypt. And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy it. Okay, now, verse number 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother, his Mary, by night and departed into Egypt. Okay, now verse number 15. And was there until the day of Herod, and was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. And we know who his son is. That is Jesus Christ, God Almighty, our Creator. All right, let's go to Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 3 to 6. Ephraim spurns God's love and suffer. Hosea, Ephraim. We hope that is being pronounced to you, that you understand that well. Okay. This is Hosea, the 11th chapter, as we turn the pages here. Okay. Give us a moment, please, as we get ourselves squared away here. Okay. Hosea, the 11th chapter, and verses 3 through 6. Ephraim spurns God's love and suffers. Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 3 through 6. And it reads, all right. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by the arm, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid food before them. He's talking about Ephraim. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return. Verse 6. And it says, and the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsel. They refuse to follow God's word. They refuse to do like Jesus Christ said. They refuse to be the commandments of what God wants them to do. That goes for us today as Gentiles. That goes for us today. Ephraim spurns God and love and suffers. Follow God's word. Do what God's word say do. Okay. Let's go to Philippians, the 8th chapter, and the 21st. Once a slave, now a brother. Once a slave, now a brother. All right, let us begin. Starting at verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is fitting. Verse 9, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul, and aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I beseech thee for my sons, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. 11, who in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receiving him that is mine own heart. Verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. 14, but without my mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were, nor of necessity, but unwillingly. 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou countest me, therefore, a partner, receive him as myself. If he has wronged thee or owes thee anything, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hands. I will repay it, albeit I do not say so to thee, how thou owest unto me, even thine own self beside. Verse 20, ye brother, let me have joy on thee in the Lord, and refresh my heart in the Lord. And for the last verse, 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee that knowing that thou shalt also do more than I say. It is clear here that the epistle to Philippians written to Paul in his first imprisonment in Rome was probably carried to Philippians to do the citizens of Colossus by the same messenger who bear Ephesians and Colossians letter. The message had its companion unmanages. This message here is Paul telling young people that whatever is owed, he'll pay. He's good for it. That's a good word for him in regards to the people which he's carrying a message to. But I hope that you will study that and understand well yourselves as to what Paul is telling the listeners. Perfectly illustrated, receive him as myself. He's telling them there's somebody coming on behalf of Paul, and he's receiving him as if it is him, Paul himself. That's just like I send somebody to you, and it's not me, Deacon Freddie, or Sunday school teacher Freddie, or the Freddie that you all know, and somebody else comes in my stead, and you receive them as if it was me. Okay, all right. Let us go to the Sunday school lesson for Sunday. For Sunday, May the 31st. The Sunday school lesson for May the 31st. All right. This is the spring quarter. This will, I believe, be the last lesson in this quarter series, I believe. The next lesson quarter series will begin in June. But anyway, let us begin. Sunday, May the 31st, okay? It's called the work of justice. This is the turmoil of all around this nation and what is taking place in America. It's about justice. Excuse me, about justice, about treating people right, policemen doing what they're supposed to do, you doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Justice at the hands of those in authority, God really frowns on it when those in authority do not be just, okay? Key verse, well, the devotion reading you come from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verses 11 through 20th. The background scripture, you know, comes out of Hosea 11 and 12. And the print passage comes out of Hosea 11, chapter verses 1 and 2, 7 and 10. The 12th chapter, 1 and 2, and verse 6 through 14. The key verse, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Whenever you're in a bad situation, whenever things are going awfully bad for you, stay with Jesus. Keep your hands in God's hand. Keep the faith. Do what is right, even when others are doing wrong around about you. I was listening as me and Mary were talking in regards to the anger that is in us, and perhaps some of you, about how the young man was treated. He's 46 years old. That's considered to be a young man, and a policeman with his knee on his neck. You are still to pray. You are still to keep your hand in God's hand. You're not to think in regards to killing more policemen or doing harm to more people. Those thoughts entered into my mind as well as others' mind, but that is not the right thing to do. That is not the right thing to do. You are to continue to pray. Keep your hand in God's hand. Turn thou to God and keep mercy and judgment and wait on God continually. God is not mocked. He sees what is taking place. You must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. Measure up. Measure up. Measure up. pursue love and justice. All right. As a result of experiencing this lesson, the piston should be able to do these things. Compare prosperity as a worldly goal with the godly virtues of love and justice. Regret occasions when one has adopted prosperity as a key goal. Practice love and justice as a key virtue. Baal, a Philippian deity, a heathen god. We know who that is. It's a heathen god, Baal. Burned incense, made sacrifice upon, turned into a fragrance by fire, especially as an act of worship. Burning incense. Okay. Ephraim, a son of Joseph, also his descendants and their territory. Love, background scripture, Hebrew. Love, loving. Return, background, it's a Hebrew word. Sure, to turn back. Wealth, it's sufficient substance, okay? Regardless of what your conditions are, where you are now, be content in those conditions and continue to hold on to God's hand and pray and keep the faith and keep walking toward the prize, toward Jesus Christ and doing what he says. Okay, why this lesson matters. People often equate prosperity with righteousness. Is prosperity the standard of which people and society should be judged? Hosea reminds us that love and justice of God's standard. Hosea tells us clearly what God's standard is, and that is love and justice are God's standards. The lesson in focus. Do you recall having parents introduce their methods of prescribed punishment by saying, "This is going to hurt me more than it does you"? If you do, you probably also know that it was safer to keep what you thought about the statement to yourself in fear of receiving more intense version of the punishment. We now know that sentiments on that part reflect the hurt they felt because of their disobedience and love that did not want to punish us. The parents don't want to punish you because they want you to do what's right. They want you to be like God wanted the children of Israel to be right and do right. But since they didn't, he had the punishment, and parents has to punish us too. That is a sign of love. If you don't love them, you won't punish them. You'll let them do just what they want to, and to the harm and detriment of them. Two, if they had not punished us, it would have suggested they did not really love us or care about what would happen to us. God's relationship with Israel was like that. From the beginning, he was their father, and they were his children. His love was so great that having to punish them hurt his heart. He knew that the genuine love of parents for a child involved discipline. He is not a permissive parent, expect his children to measure up to the standards Israel and Ephraim and the northern kingdom arrived at a point in their relationship with him that forced him to severely punish them for their sin. Divine judgment and divine mercy were on opposite sides of the scale. His intense love and compassion for them tilted the scale toward divine mercy and saved them from total destruction. The lesson in context. Hosea's adulterous wife experience served a mirror image of God's relationship with his adulterous people. After describing their sinfulness and punishment, Hosea returned to the theme of God's intense love for wayward Israel. Chapter 11 pictures Israel as a beloved, rebellion, ungrateful child deserving discipline by a loving parent. Hosea also pictures the agony that God feels as he considers their experiences. His wrath in chapter 12, the sins of Israel are reviewed and God's irrevocable indictment against the nation is given with a view of their future restoration. There are some powerful things in there. God does things and sets examples for us as a way to travel and how to weigh and what to do in situations. Pay close attention. Okay, let's look at insights. How did Israel continue to respond to God's love for them? We know what that answer is. How are God's grace and mercy expressed in verses 8 and 9? Oh, let's look at this one. What is the basis of God's promise not to completely destroy Israel? Because he loves them. He loves them. He always leaves a remnant. He always leaves a remnant. Somebody left behind that will carry on and do the will of God. Describe specific sins of Israel. That's in verses 12 and 1. Israel was called to return to God, or it was to be the results of their returning to him. Oh, God called them to return. All right, insights. Measuring up is an ongoing challenge in every area of society. For example, in sports, athletes strive to measure up through rigorous, continuous training and practice. Students in school who are serious about measuring up to do so by developing and using the good study habits and honing their study skills. The lesson topic, Measure Up, is a reminder that pleasing God is automatic. Pleasing God is not automatic. I refer and I look at that and I clearly state that measurement is a reminder that pleasing God is not automatic and cannot be taken lightly, especially in the light of his requirements for demonstrating love and justice. Love and justice is why we are in trouble in this nation right now. Love and justice. And it must come from the White House to your house. It's from any house, any leadership, anybody in charge should show love and justice. All right? The first requirement for measuring up on any of his standards is obedience to his word, desiring to submit to his will and knowledge in him as the source of all we are and have and do for foundational of living obedience and being used by him, his works of justice. His people today cannot pattern after Israel. His people today cannot pattern after Israel by equating spirituality and righteousness with any form of prosperity and success. God judges our standing with him by the depths of our love for him, and has much we prove that love by loving others. Oh, look at that. We prove that love by loving others and promoting justice for all. How do you measure up? Oh, what a question for this time as the riots and burning and destruction continue across this nation as a result of the policemen releasing the evil of rebellion and anger against what the policemen did. All right. The title of this lesson suggests a command from God to measure up or reach specific standards has set in the context. These standards are love and justice. Love and justice. Was there any love in what he was doing? Was there any justice in how the policeman was behaving? Oh, what a question. The lesson will also remind your students that there are consequences for failing to be obedient despite his love. He will invoke divine judgment on the unrepentant, emphasizing to us that they need to acknowledge God as the source of their success and has allowed them to be stewards over. The heart of God is vividly revealed in this lesson text, encouraging them to worship God for his love and compassion and to demonstrate their gratitude by committing to practice love and justice. To practice love and justice. Let us begin. Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 7. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. We know well what he's talking about. And they called them, and so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baal and burned incense to graven image. Oh, they're being disobedient. All right. And my people are bent on backsliding. Bent on backsliding from me through. They call them to the Most High. None of all would exalt him. Look at that. My grandmother years ago used to say that
of young people that was in our neighborhood and people that we knew, young men or young ladies that did things wrong back then when we were 10 or 12 years old, 15, 16-year-old grandmama would say they are bent toward wrong. In other words, you take something and you bend it, okay, it's maybe laying straight, and you take something that's easy enough to bend like a piece of wire, you can bend it in the middle of whatever way, you can shape it in whatever way. But she would tell us that person, whoever that person is that we heard of that did something wrong, she would say, they are bent toward wrong. This is the clearly what this is saying right here. And my people, he's talking about his people, God is talking about his people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, are bent to backsliding. In other words, we come up to Jesus Christ and we love Jesus Christ and we're going to do what Jesus Christ, but soon we backslide, we go back to doing this stuff of the world. We are just like that too. He's talking to us as well as to his people. Okay. All right, let's go. Hosea presents a vivid portrayal of the love of God for his people. God's love for them was deeper than emotion. It was love that focused on recipients and not the giver. His love for them was from the beginning of their relationship. God spoke directly to Israel, reminded them that they had displayed his love toward them by calling them and delivering them out of Egypt. Verse 1, the love he had for them compelled him to do everything in his power to call them to repentance. He repeatedly called and commissioned prophets to communicate his desires for their obedience. But they continued to drift away from him and his idolatry. Verse 2, just like a stubborn child or one that has not been appropriately disciplined, they were determined to go their own way and not the way Jesus Christ wanted them to go. They continually and deliberately rejected his call for repentance through prophets like Hosea. The terminal results of their obedience and ingratitude would ultimately be military defeat and exile. Verses 3 to 6. How do God's people reject his love today? You know that in your heart. You know that for yourself. How do you reject? By not doing what he says, by being disobedient. That's how you reject it. One way is ingratitude, by taking for granted his grace. What about ingratitude? You just don't care. You don't thank you. Somebody do something for you and they say you're ungrateful. You just show no empathy toward folks that do good for you. You just continue to use them and use them up. Okay? You should be thankful for who do good for you. Be thankful for a place where if you got a job, be thankful for what you do have, okay? In ways of gratitude, by taking for granted his grace daily, he provides and sometimes fails to thank him as they should. We do that right now. Some of us still doing it right now. Another way of allowing other gods to have control of our heart, as did Israel in his books of God, such as our car, our job, our money, whatever, our bank accounts, whatever. You can let them things control and run you. Just like now, you can let things taking place around you control you. Do not let it control you. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep focus on Jesus. Okay? In his book, Gods of War, Kyle Idleman say that idolatry is at the root of every sin that God's people have to deal with. Anything we chose over God is an idol, and idolatry is spiritual adultery, which was Israel's sin. Israel chose Baal and other idol deities of the nations around them. Do not choose idol things to worship and not stay focused with Jesus Christ. Stay with Jesus Christ. It may be Baal, it may be a car, it may be a bank, whatever. Just don't do it. Baal and other idol deities of the nation around them. Just as Hosea experienced the pain of an unfaithful adulterous wife, God was hurt by the unfaithfulness of his bride Israel. Look at that comparison there, real quickly. Look at that comparison. Hosea, unfaithful wife, he still hung with her and stayed with her. How about that? How many of you do that? A husband that's unfaithful, a wife that's unfaithful. How many of you that are married would stay there and hang with him, stay with him, let God take care of it? Okay? Yeah. God was hurt by the unfaithfulness of his bride Israel. When we reject his love for other worthless substitute, God is the spurned lover. God did not want to be a
choice for Israel, but their only choice because of his great love for them. If we are to measure up, then we expect nothing less from us. How about that?
How about that?
What a powerful word, okay? All right. What factors can suggest a cause and attitude of ingratitude of God, our spiritual father? Ingratitude. How about that? How about you? Do you show ingratitude? How about there are so many churches around here and about us that don't have pastors. We are blessed to have a pastor and a first lady. How many of you are thankful for that? Or do you show ingratitude toward that? How about that? Okay? How many are dissatisfied with the way things are going at the church now because of what we have to, how we have to do it? How many of you? How many? Think about those things. As a parent, guardian, and adult, have you ever had to punish a child for disobeying, although you didn't want to chastise them? Yes, for sure. They were wrong, and you had warned them several times beforehand. How did it feel as you were chastising the parent, guardian, or parent? It just doesn't feel well, but you know that it's the right thing to do in order for that child to someday stand up and be right. Okay, let's go to the next outline. This is Hosea, the 11th chapter, verses 8 through 10. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as an Admah? How shall I set thee as Zebion? Mine heart is turned within me. My repenting are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One. In the midst of thee, I will not enter into the city. They shall wake, they shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. Oh, what a powerful thing. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Amanda? How can I make you like Zebedon? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. He loved his people, even though they did wrong. He chastised them. Even today, he's not through with Israel. Here, Israel, the Jewish people, is God's people. We are grafted in. We Gentiles. Paul came to us and brought the message of God to us. God loves you right now. Whenever you're doing wrong, God's going to chastise you, but he's going to take care of you. You're going to take care of just like a good father, a good mother does for bad children that do wrong. You chastise them because you love them. Okay. Picture a loving father having no choice but to punish his child while contemplating the pain and discomfort the child will have to endure. The thought of executing judgment upon Israel was painful for God, like that of his father. The decision to punish remained intact, but reflection on the severity of his punishment on Israel invoked four rhetorical questions from God. Verses 8. Listen to those. Verses 8. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Ebony? How can I make you like Zebedee? My heart is changing within me. All my compassion is aroused. Oh, look at God feeling and loving for the people that he punished. Just like you and I did with our children. God loves us the same way. All right. Hosea explained the depth of God's compassion for Israel. This prospect of completing destruction, destroying the city of Abadah and Zebulun, along with Sodom and Gomorrah, were more than the Lord could bear. The outcome of the arousal of God's deep compassion would spare Israel from complete annihilation, and his divine mercy would temper his divine judgment. Verses 9. This promise was reliable because of God's nature. He is the Holy One, whose ways are not like mankind. Oh, looking forward to Israel's future restoration, God promised that the lion-like roar of his judgment would also call them back from exile. God is the compassionate Father of all who have accepted his Son as Savior. He loves each of us. His blood brought children and the same intense love he has for Israel. It is not his will that any be lost. Listen to that.
It is not his will that any be lost, but his holiness requires that he execute absolute justice. Israel failed to measure up to his expectation and was punished, but was not abandoned because of God's love. It is the same for those who are his today. It is the same. All right. Let's go to the last outline, Hosea, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 14. Let us begin. Ephraim feeded on wind and followed like the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and all is carried into Egypt. The Lord has also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his way, according to his doing, will he recompense them. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant, a balance of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. Oh, and Ephraim said, yet I have become rich. I have found me out substance in all my labors. They shall find none equity in me that were sin. There is no sound foundation and riches and things like that. That will not last. It's going to pass away. Stay with Jesus Christ. Stay with Jesus Christ, because all the wealth in the world is not going to help you. It's good to have, but if you can't handle it, it's not good for you. Stay with Jesus Christ. He's got all the riches in the world. He's got it. He owns everything. And even said, yet I have become rich. Let's look at verse 9. And that I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and yet will make thee to dwell in a tabernacle as the days of the solemn feast. Verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets. I have multiple visions and have used similitudes by the ministry of the prophet. Verse 11. Is there iniquity in Gilgad? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgad, yet their altars are as heaps of furrows in the field. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife. For a wife he kept sleep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by the prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger. Most bitterly therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach of his Lord return unto him. Oh, what a powerful word. Ephraim was aroused, his bitter anger, his love. His Lord will leave on him the guilt of his bloodshed and will pay him for his contempt. Oh, man. Ephraim spurned God, and as a result of that, punishment was the answer. Don't spurn God. Don't turn against God, even now in this situation. Be mindful of what you say. I regret what I said in regards to hoping others attack and do things because of what the policeman did. Let God do that. Let God do it. You can't do it. You don't have the capacity to do it. God has the justice, okay? You just pray that God will be done and stay focused, okay? And Hosea 11 and 12, 11 and 12, through 14th verse. Hosea includes God's case against Israel and represents his final indictment. Both nations, Israel and Judah, were declared guilty of unfaithfulness of God. Is God declaring you unfaithful? How about it, Freddie? How about it, you who are listening to this lesson? Are you unfaithful to God? Is God have a judgment to give you for you turning away from God? What about now? What are your thoughts in regards to the policeman and what he did to the brother in killing him? What are your thoughts, huh? Where are you? Are you willing God deal with it? Or are you trying to do with it? You can't do it. You don't have the capacity. The evidence supporting this change against them was social injustice, lies and violence, and forming foreign alliances with Egypt and Assyria. God is just in all his ways. What about what's taking place in this country? Be aware of what's being done from the president's house down to your house. What are you doing at your house that you'd write? Okay? God is just in all his ways. See Deuteronomy 32 and 4. He had commanded Israel to measure up to this standard by showing concern for the welfare of the poor. Listen to this. For the welfare of the poor and the afflicted. Oh, in addition to they had been forbidden to form alliances with foreign nations. Oh, God forbid foreign alliances with this country in certain things that they do because they don't do what we do. We are human and a nation just like all other people. And if we do wrong, God will punish us as well as men. Deuteronomy 7 and 2, primarily because of the danger of being influenced by their industrious religious practice. You be influenced by what the other nations do. Father God was the only source that they would ever need. Israel was also indicted for evil ways. After providing a brief history lesson from Israel's past, God through Israel caused them to repentance to demonstrate their commitment to love, justice, and solely depend upon God's. That's in verse 6. The results of that genuine repentance will be reversal of their attitudes and behavior. Genuinely repent and return to God. What does he say about it? If you repent and return to God, he will heal your land. What's going on? If you genuinely repent and return to God, he'll take care of all this going on. He'll take care of it. The nation's estrangement from God had developed the mistaken idea that wealth and prosperity hid their sins from him. Yet God had been observing since he. America is one of the most wealthiest countries in the world. There is no doubt about it. I don't care your wealth and all the things that you have making no difference to God when you are disobedient and don't want to do right. God will destroy it. God will take it. Look at this nation. Look at all the stuff we got. Oh, Lord have mercy. He has delivered them from Egypt and was not going to overlook their disobedient attitude and arrogant attitude, ingratitude. His imposed judgment was their having to live in tents while in exile as their ancestors had it in the wilderness. What happened to them in the wilderness? Think about it. Do I need to remind you? Oh. Israel, how else, was without excuse because God had repeatedly communicated his expectation through his prophets. Oh, every time they get messed up and go off, God sends somebody to them. Then they would say they're going to come back. Then they come back a minute. Then they go back to doing what they need to do. God calls his children the stiff-necked people. Oh, how about you? Are you stiff-necked? Oh, reminds me of how the policeman was pressing his knee into the brother's neck. Oh, God is so good. His prophets, the nations ignored them and plunged deep into adultery and increased the number of altars across the land. In coming judgment, the stones of these altars would be scattered and reduced to piles of stone. This is in verse 11. Hosea climaxed this chapter by reminding Israel of her humble beginning and God's goodness to them. Think about us as a nation in this country we call America. Excuse me. How we were brought out of Africa on slave ships and worked the fields of this nation in the sweat and the brow and the murderers and the killing of us. Oh, where we are today. Oh, God's people, black people of this earth. Oh, Hosea climaxes this chapter by reminding Israel of her humble beginning that God's goodness to them. He used Jacob as their ancestors and objective lesson to illustrate God's faithfulness. The prophet's ultimate purpose for using this illustration was to encourage them to humble themselves, repent, and obey, that they would continue to receive God's blessing. Israel refused and provoked God's anger. Despite his love, he was not going to extend his forgiveness and let the nation retain guilt, but would repay them for their sins. It must be kept in mind that God's love would not prevent him from executing his divine judgment. That's on you, Freddie. That's on you, the listener to this lesson. I don't care what you do. God will punish you for your wrongs, okay? He can be relied on as a loving father, but his expectation is that his children measure up by obeying his command. Measure up by obeying God's command. Oh, what a lesson. Okay, next week's lesson. The topic for Sunday, June the 7th, 2020, is Listen Up. Devotional reading is going to come from Psalms 34, verses 11 through 18. The background scripture is Proverbs 1, and the printed text is Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 4, 7 and 8, 10, 11, 20 through 22, 32 through 33. Let us go to the throne. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the words that have been parted from my mouth. May they be helpful in leading someone to Christ. May it be helpful in their walk with Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus. Dear God, forgive us. Forgive us for failing to measure up to your standards. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to keep our focus on doing what you expect us and not on acquiring material prosperity and self-promotion. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And don't forget the reading of next week's daily reading for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's Home Daily Readings. Faith Community Discerns Path. That's for Monday. Parents Joyful Pass on the Faith. Learning the Fear of the Lord. It's on Wednesday. Violence is not a wise choice. What a time, what a time. Violence is not a wise choice. The vast scope of Solomon wisdom, prize wisdom inside. Godly wisdom for life decision. Be ready for next week. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, Pastor Olive and all of us, we thank you for listening to the Sunday School lesson for Sunday, May the 31st, 2020. God bless, and we'll see you next time.